Welcome to Tori Nemecha Machshava, Cultivating Connection with the OU Women's Initiative. Cultivating Connection is dedicated by Suzette and Michelle Allen and family in memory of Paul and Ilse Besch and Gabriella Besch Allen of Munich, Germany, and in the memory of the Louvre family of Pasewalk, Germany. May their neshamos each have an aliyah as we learn together. My name is Tzivi Zuckerman, and today we're wrapping up our current theme, Connection with Others. We've discussed a lot about zaras, disconnection, and how it pulls us out of the olam hayedidas, the world of connection. Today, I want to dig deeper into the roots of zaras. At its heart, zaras comes from a turn inward, but not the healthy kind. It's a turn towards self-protection and self-centeredness. This is a subtle but profound point. We might think that when we're selfish, we're connected to ourselves. But in truth, if my inward focus is only on bodily pleasure or personal comfort, I actually disconnect from the loftier soul parts of me. I become fragmented and I can't reach wholeness. The dividing line between connection and disconnection is always my intention. Is my intention self-focused or is it oriented toward others? True connection can only exist when I turn either outward toward others, upward toward God, or inward in a way that's aligned with my soul. In contrast, when fear and self-interest take over, I'm actually turning away from connection. Revolba explains that the word achzarias, cruelty, is just a more advanced stage of zaras. When disconnection dominates, we deny other people's right to their opinions, their own style, and their own way of being. And this can escalate to a point where people justify harming and even destroying others, whether that's literally or figuratively. History gives us endless examples where groups were seen as the other and therefore felt justified to persecute or to kill them. Jewish history knows this all too well. But when we think about our modern Western world, the words cruelty and selfishness feel a little bit extreme. They don't seem to fit. We have a humane law system. We're very polite. So where do we see that deep root of disconnection and self-interest? It's fascinating to see how Revolba applies this concept of zaras to the modern world. Western culture, rooted in the Renaissance and classical Greece, celebrates the centrality of the individual. So by definition, it will be dominated by zaras and self-interest. Yes, we have laws and manners, but they're often built on mutual self-interest, emphasis on the self-interest. Revolba highlights how Darwinism and the idea of survival of the fittest shapes the way modern people view themselves and others. As an example, many psychological theories are based on explaining how people adapt for survival. So instead of looking at man as a being longing for connection with the divine, survival of the fittest places competition and self-protection at the center of human motivation. In this worldview, competition becomes the baseline. It's me versus you, striving for academic success, social status, or comfort and pleasure. And since modern man often lives with no awareness or trust in a loving God, it makes sense that he operates from a fear-based survival mentality, focusing on controlling nature through science and technology. And this mindset also pushes us to grab whatever pleasure we can, while we can, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. And here's the irony. This mindset isn't new. Ancient pagans also saw the world as fearful and unpredictable, controlled by vengeful gods, and therefore they too focused on control and self-preservation. This is the world of zaras, a world of disconnection and competition rooted in fear, self-centeredness, and the pursuit of limited pleasures. And this zaras mindset actually leads to avoda zara, idolatry, where connection with Hashem is removed from the picture, replaced with survival anxiety and self-focused pleasure-seeking. Now, what's so interesting is that pleasure, which we've seen can contribute to disconnection, can also be a powerful tool for connection. When we chase pleasure instinctively and mindlessly, it's selfish and disconnects us from others. This really shows up in our society today, whether it's through materialism or food culture or the way sexuality is portrayed as a tool for selfishness, leading to so much loneliness and disconnection. Revolba explains that the desire for pleasure and its flip side, fear of pain, comes from a very deep place in the human self. It's core to what motivates people. When this deep drive for pleasure is used only for physical gratification, it fosters selfishness. But pleasure itself isn't the problem. All the pleasures we just mentioned, materialism, food, and sexuality, can all be used to connect with others. And pleasure can also be elevated, refined, and redirected so that we develop a sensitivity and desire for spiritual pleasure, which is like enjoying fine wine or classical music. You'll only truly savor it if you're a connoisseur. Torah provides a framework that's the opposite of self-serving pleasure. Revolba calls this the Olam HaYedidus, the world of connection. The Torah's entire system of mitzvos provides a structure for using pleasure as a tool for purpose and connection. Every mitzvah exists within a framework of creating wholeness and connection, whether with ourselves, with others, or with Hashem. Torah creates this incredible framework for connection. But as we've emphasized, we can only move beyond the dry actions to a deep felt sense of connection when we have that foundation of inner connection. But connection with others is also inseparable from our connection with Hashem. Connection with others is not just nice to have, it's a moral imperative. And next week we'll explore why this is so essential. So since our intention is what determines whether we use pleasure selfishly or in service of connection, let's keep our focus on the connection. A really accessible place to practice this is with food. We bond over coffee, we nurture people through meals. So as we prepare food, share food, or eat food, we can anchor ourselves in this intention of connection. I look forward to our optional virtual VOD on interpersonal connection this Monday. And next week, we'll focus on our next theme, connection with Hashem. Thank you for learning together.